TotalSportCards.com. Canada's number one stop for WWE, AEW, UFC, NHL, NBA, and NFL hobby boxes. Total Sport Cards always delivers the most sought-after products with the best price points in the market that you can find. Keep your collection up to date with TotalSportCards.com. TotalSportCards.com, proud sponsor of Sunday night's main event.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, SNME Radio proudly presents, it's reigning, it's defending, it's undisputed, East Coast podcasting tag team champions of the world, Brad the Dad McKinnon, Greg Father Feltham, the Smack Daddies.
And hello, special friends. As we are free on the Sunday night's main event podcast feed, I am Brad the Dad, and riding shotgun with me is my tag team partner, Greg Father Feltham.
Bless you, my son.
I got two blessings, although we're now, I think it's a new day because it crossed over that magic hour while we were watching the Hall of Fame speech. So, first time today. And we have turned our tag team into a trio. We are joined from Radio Free Wrestling, Sean Burkhead.
Hello, I would like to start defending everybody in the city of Knoxville, Tennessee. My brother, my sister. Oh, wait a minute. We'll just skip this speech because, man, we've been here for a minute, guys.
We started watching this and then we're like, Greg and I were chatting and like, Sean's was the best part of this. We'll just hang out. It's to the point that we drained my MacBook battery. I didn't realize it wasn't like taking a charge. So I like plugged it in, rebooted, did the whole thing. And I was like, oh guys, I feel like bad because we're going to hold up this thing. And no, Rey Mysterio is just still talking. And we're waiting. We like started because Rey's like walking around the ring and we're like, there's going to be a thing.
He's signed freaking Funko Pops. Hey, Randy, when you listen to this, give me a price on one of them, will you?
All right. Here's what we're going to do tonight. We are going to tell you our favorite memory of each of the wrestlers that came out. And then we'll debate whether the speech was any good, if the induction was good, or if the speech was good, and if there's any part of this to watch, because it's WrestleMania weekend. You have a ton of wrestling to watch this weekend. And to be honest with you, so we usually play the game of keep it, superstar special, or cut. We're going to make it slightly different. We're going to play keep, cut, or put off the watch until after all the other wrestling happens this week and maybe sometime next week. Sound fair, guys?
Reasonable.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Who was our first induction of the night? Like 2 hours ago.
Yeah, it was, feels like 2 hours ago. We started, besides the pre-show, which we're not going to talk about, while they were tearing down the ring and getting everything set up, we started with She's Got Legs, Stacy Keibler.
And she was inducted by who, Sean?
She was inducted by Mick Foley and her best friend, Tori Wilson.
All right. So let's start with Greg. Do you have any memories of Tori Wilson? Or, Stacy Keibler?
I'm not sure. We're on the free feed, so I'm not sure if I'm allowed to mention any memories I have of Stacy Keibler.
I remember her as the Duchess of Dudleyville. That was when she was with the Dudleys and was kind of their manager slash mascot. And there's one time when they carry her out in a table. There was a lot of fun with that. And then I remember that Tori Wilson was the workhorse of their tag team. So that says everything about them. Sean, do you have any Stacy Keibler memories? Maybe a memorable match? I stretch, he says.
Brad, I don't think there's a memorable match, but if you're a WCW fan, I think the biggest storyline that she had was the fact that she was dating David Flair at one time and supposedly was pregnant with his son, and it literally turns out to be a picture of Sean Stacy at.
Yes, and the other part of the storyline was possibly that Ric Flair was going to be the dad. So, you know, this just... I got nothing for you.
Didn't we see that, like, in the pandemic?
Yeah,
with Lacey Evans.
Yeah, that
exact storyline. Yeah, right.
Exact storyline almost 20 years later. Yep. Okay, so let's talk about the inductions. We had a two-part induction with Mick Foley and Tori Wilson. Let's go around the horn, and then I'll be the tiebreaker if you guys end up tying. Sean, are we watching this? Are we pushing this till after, or are we superstarring this and you just kind of skim through it?
Okay, what I would do is I would skip the whole Mick Foley introduction. I would go straight to the Tori Wilson intro for Stacey Keibler, and we could cut literally 15 minutes off of this freaking opening introduction. So I would superstar this sucker.
Yep. Greg.
I think that if they didn't cut this short, she'd be pushing Mr. T levels of thankfulness in this speech. This was long. This was unnecessarily long. This could be cut easily.
Yeah, I'll be the tiebreaker and say superstar. Tori, you can listen to her part, and then I don't know. Stacey didn't know how to land the plane and also didn't read the room. She was not the fifth person on a 5-person class.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Okay, who was up next? We're talking about 90 minutes ago.
Yes, up next was Andy Kaufman.
Ooh, and so this was another one of those joint inductions. We had Jerry Lawler, we got to see recorded from home, and we had a little speech by the Mouth of South, Jimmy Hart, and some members of the Kaufman family. Memories of Kaufman. This is like before most of us were born.
Yes.
You know, Greg.
Nope, come for it.
You know, guys, this was before even I was born. I feel like I'm like probably 7 or 8 years older than you guys. But this was like the biggest thing during the late 70s and the early 80s. This basically brought Memphis wrestling to a freaking peak. And nobody knew exactly how the storyline was, if it was real or not. And most people thought it was a real beef between Lawler and Andy Kaufman.
Yeah, the story of Kaufman getting eating a pile driver and then not refusing to move, and then them getting an ambulance and him saying, "I'll pay for it," and him going to the hospital for 3 days and being in a neck brace and then just wearing the neck brace everywhere. It's brilliant. It is brilliant wrestling. And yeah, those are the kind of things. Part of me is nostalgic for the days of yonder. So based on that though, Greg, what about this whole induction and the speech afterwards? What do you want to do with it?
Yeah, I think this was okay. I didn't mind this. There was some great stuff. I mean, and I should have said this in the last one, WWE can make, you know, chicken salad out of chicken feathers, as they say when you're on a free feed. You know, they can take, they didn't have to stretch this one. They did a lot on the previous one, but I mean, they know how to put together a little documentary here, a mini thing on Kaufman, and make you kind of wish you had known and saw more of his stuff. I mean, obviously we didn't have the same technology and recording technology as we did back then. So, you know, there was some graininess and all that stuff, which, I mean, you can't really clean up because that's what it was. But I mean, a lot of the stuff that he did, you could see that working today in a, you know, a whole different generation.
So are we keeping this speech or not?
I think so. I think this was a pretty decent overall, you know, segment of the Hall of Fame.
Burkhead, do you want to keep this one?
You know, Brad, I feel like we should keep this because it's very rarely do you see the WWE actually acknowledging anything outside of their own history. So we got to keep this.
Yeah, I'd say keep this. And the best thing about this one was that it might have been the shortest speech. So the two things were everybody read the room, knew that this was going to be mostly about the video package, and the speech was well done and landed really well. The family was really, really good. Okay, what's next?
The next up is the induction of the Great Muta.
Yes, which was done by Ric Flair. Anybody, Great Muta memories? Sean, do you have a favorite match? Was there anything? You grew up in the southern part of the States. You saw a lot more WCW than we did up here in Canada. Mood of memories. Go.
Okay, so like I was telling you guys while we're watching this induction of the Muda, to me, Muda is always like two generations ahead of his time. If he had a prime Muda right now, he would stand in the ring with the Young Bucks and make a hell of a match. I feel like the best rivalry we've seen in WCW with Muda was with Sting when they were battling over the WCW world title. Something else you need to check out on the network sometimes.
I really... Like, I saw Muda later, and so by that point, his knee started having knee problems. But I would say Muda has one of the best retirement matches I've ever seen. So if you haven't seen his match from Noah where he had his last match, that's a great match. And, yeah, even his match with Shinsuke Nakamura, like, he was a guy who, at that point, his knees are shot. He's had his better days behind him. But he, and credit to Nakamura for that match, like, but Muda knew what to do, and he told a beautiful story. Greg, you mentioned earlier you got to know Muda mostly later. Is there anything other than, you know, as you're watching this, did you realize that he was the innovator of the Miss before tonight?
No, I like, you know, obviously when you think Muda, you think of the Mist, and you know, I didn't watch a lot of Muda stuff because number one, we didn't get. Like, Japanese wrestling is not something we got off the bat. Number two, WCW was a rare treat. So I didn't grow up watching much Muda, but, you know, like I said to you guys kind of off air tonight, like, you know, knowing and seeing the Miss being more and more prevalent in today's wrestling with some of our Japanese stars like Asuka, who's now adopted it. You know, and I asked you, I was like, is Muda, and asked Sean, you know, did Muda, you know, really start this trend of the Mist? And when you guys had, you know, affirmed that that was the case, you know, I think that makes a really good point as to one of the reasons from a North American perspective as to why he belongs in the WWE Hall of Fame, even though he didn't really do any WWE work. That. All right. Next up on our list from the Hall of Fame was the induction of Timmy White with the biggest surprise of the night. This is the Warrior Award. And Sean, what are your thoughts? We didn't have to see Dana Warrior on this Hall of Fame.
You know, Greg, I thought this was the best Warrior Award induction of the whole series so far. And really, this was the first time they actually did the Warrior Award the way the Ultimate Warrior wanted it to be presented. And man, JBL and Ron Simmons, man, they just did a hell of a job doing this introduction.
They certainly did. They certainly did. They, well, I mean, right off the bat, before they even got to that, we had the clips of Timmy White's career talking about his wrestling, the matches that he refereed, you know, the dog pile, for lack of a better word, with the hoe train. They showed his bar, and every time WWE came to town, the bar getting absolutely trashed. So Tim could, you know, help out the WWE, or the WWE could help out Tim. We've got JBL and Ron Simmons come out and induct him. And that's the story that Ron Simmons and JBL told about how the bar would get trashed and you know, broken things like the broken jukebox that WWE replaced for a new one for him because they smashed it up and they got that reputation. And then JBL and Ron Simmons bring out Tim White's whole family to do the induction. It was rather sweet there, amazing that Tim's brother Tom, I believe his name was, looks almost identical to Tim White.
I know, Greg. It's crazy how much they look like. I mean, we were talking about maybe they were able to do the Earl Hebner and his twin brother angle with these two guys.
Yeah, absolutely. They certainly could have gone that route for sure. It was amazing to see, and you know, so glad that we were able to get that. I hope that we see more of this type of thing in future for Warrior Awards, that we see some referees there. I mean, Hebner, love him, hate him, screw job, whatever, you know, deserves to be in that Hall of Fame. You've got people like Mike Chioda, you've got Jimmy Corderas, you have a bunch of these referee type people, let alone other people backstage that I have no clue who they are that I'm sure belong in that Hall of Fame. So I hope we see more and more of that going forward.
And I'll go ahead and say that this is a must keep and a must watch from this Hall of Fame induction. Tim's brother really was fighting tears as he was accepting this award, and it really moved me as I was watching it. I don't know about you, Greg.
Yeah, absolutely. What are your thoughts? Do you any Tim White memories for yourself?
You know, that's the sad thing, because I know he's such a great referee, but sometimes I hardly ever like really realize who the referee is in the match. And I feel like now I need to go back and watch some of this match out of respect.
Yeah, I remember, you know, like I grew up watching Timmy White, obviously. You know, he was big. Oh, Brad, we can't get your audio at all. Brad, your audio is, yeah, okay, you've muted. Yeah, I don't know. I'll send you a note. Okay. All right, Brad says just keep going. Okay, we'll cut that. So going back to the Timmy White part, I mean, I remember, do you have any memories, Sean, of the Tim White suicide angle?
I kind of barely remember that, Greg. And I was remembering, why in the hell are they doing that? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was one of those things that started December 18th, 2005, is when that whole kind of angle started. And it started back at the Friendly Tap, and yeah, how the Hell in the Cell match ruined his life, and then he tried to shoot himself, and it was distasteful, obviously, because of Eddie Guerrero's passing a month earlier. But then that kept going, and that went on for, you know, 6 months type thing. In December 2005, after the whole, you know, Hell in a Cell pay-per-view, going through to April 2006, and the whole situation there with Tim White. Thoughts on that whole time of that's kind of the last, you know, hurrah of Tim White on WWE programming?
You know, Greg, it's kind of sad in a way, because I thought they were really pushing the edge there with this quote unquote attempted suicide of Tim White. I just remember watching it back in the day and going like, why the hell are they doing this? It was so close after Eddie Guerrero's passing, and I just feel like it was just so out of taste.
Yeah, to me, it almost seemed like, and I hate to describe it this way, but Tim White as the bar owner reminded me so much of like Mo Sizlak from The Simpsons and all the attempts of various suicides, like the hanging himself and the rope breaking. Like that, it almost seemed like real life Simpsons, and it always used to make me laugh. And maybe it's just my sick sense of humor, but I always used to find these really funny.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, that takes us, Sean, to our main event of the evening. Again, super thankful that we didn't have to have Dana Warrior, but we get the introduction of Rey Mysterio's inductor to take him into the Hall of Fame. We get Conan come out, And this is when I start to get nervous. Conan in front of a live mic on WWE programming. Thoughts on Conan and his introduction of Rey Mysterio?
Okay, so the one thing you take away from this is that they are close. They are almost like brothers, the way how Conan just speaks about Rey and how Rey speaks about Conan. These two guys have been best friends for possibly 30 plus years now. And you can actually just feel it and see it as they're talking about each other. And I had my popcorn ready because it's Conan with a live mic, and I just didn't know what we were going to get. But man, he was probably the best presenter of the evening.
Yeah, great introduction here by Conan. And you're absolutely right. It's seeing Conan's love of Rey Mysterio. And that's the only way I can say it. You know, love of a older brother for a younger brother. That's the type of relationship it seems like these two guys have. You know, brothers, but obviously, you know, a bit of age between both of them. Bradley the Dadley, you look to be back. Let's see if we can get you to come in on this. Thoughts on Conan's introduction, and then I will gladly turn over the hosting duties back to you, my friend.
Well, first of all, I was enjoying your guys' conversation. And I'll be looking forward to listening to this back and see how we can fix this in post. Apologies. Apparently, if I turn off my TV, I unplug my MacBook, which was my issue. We're in the middle of recording and I'm recording. So thank goodness we recorded on both ends. Essentially, I loved Conan's speech, and it made me go, they just started this brand new LWO faction on SmackDown. Could Conan come in and be their like mouthpiece? Like, is that crazy?
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Yes. Bringing him in on every Friday night in front of a live mic. Yes. You're absolutely crazy, Brad.
But okay.
Now,
why? Brad,
you know what? I'm going to argue that Greg's wrong. You're not crazy. You're crazy like a fuss baby, but it's a great idea. That group with Conan as a mouthpiece, it's just like him with LAX. I mean, like, the dude is just so great in the mic. And that group, I mean, granted, Ray is not the best as a promo person. And Boris, I know you're listening, and I'm sorry, but Santos is not anywhere near Conan's level on the mic.
Yeah, that's the issue, isn't it?
It's exactly the issue.
I would put in, yeah, and then, you know, like none of the guys in Legado can talk. Like, and I don't mean that in a bad way. It's not that they're not good. They're good promos. It's why they got Selena. And Selena Vega as a face, I'm not sure she's a proven commodity. So, I mean, Conan starts, this could be a face faction for the time being. And then Conan can turn on Rey. It'll be great. It writes itself. And then you can add Dom to this faction.
You know, this is how you get Rey and Dom back together. Once Conan and Legado turns on Rey, who comes out to save him but his son trying to earn the trust back?
Or does Dom go with Legado and Conan and we get this evil Latino world order and some badasses that can, because Legado can wreck house.
You're right about that, Brad.
Okay. So we're all going to say we're keeping Conan. The question is, are we keeping Rey Mysterio? And preface this by saying it's now 2:00 in the morning. And I think this may skew our opinion on this speech.
You know, Brad, I would edit Rey Mysterio's speech down. Now, if you want to just watch one speech from this Hall of Fame, watch Rey's, his love for his wife, his love for Conan, you can feel it. I mean, like, it's just so great. But I love Rey to death. Been a Rey Mysterio fan since the day he entered WCW. But Rey, my God, you didn't need to go for about 25 plus minutes.
In my business, we call it landing the plane. And the issue was that he didn't land the plane. And then he circled a couple times. So he went back and thanked people like Conan multiple times. And I get it. He loves Conan. But did he need to thank Dean Malenko three times? No. And that was the problem. You got a really good 15-minute speech that got stretched to 25 minutes. And at one point, I was waiting for Greg to be like last year, Sean. We were sitting here watching it, and Greg, I thought, was going to throw something at the TV, like, "Okay, Undertaker, stop talking.
Oh, sweet God, yes. I forgot the Undertaker's speech last year. Oh, yeah. Oh, God, that was bad. I honestly, I think this speech, if I rewatch this tomorrow, I think I'd be okay with it. But at 1 o'clock in the morning, 1:30 in the morning, it is too long. So I think this one in the light of day may have been okay, but it's just too late this hour of the night.
And the problem was, is you guys did such a good job recapping, was it came after the beautiful Tim White introduction with the APA and his brother's very brief and beautiful speech. It came after Great Muta doing a very brief and beautiful speech. Like, it came after, like, a series of beautiful entries into the Hall of Fame that were short and beautiful.
I actually miss when they used to do Hall of Fame, like, the night before SmackDown. Like, you have an event, like, set it up as an event that instead of a afterthought after you have a two-hour show, or even if you turned SmackDown into, a half-hour wrestling show and an hour-and-a-half Hall of Fame and finish it up by, 10 p.m. Eastern, I'd be 100% okay with that, because, honestly, you could have easily done that tonight. Andre Battle Royal, SmackDown Hall, or WWE Hall of Fame, and you were good.
Yeah, you didn't need the Fatal 4 Ways, and you didn't. You could have started. Okay, Greg, and I'll even say, okay, let's pretend we're thinking like WWE, and they want those two promos, the tag promo and the Cody slash Roman sort of promo.
Right.
We could do those two things as 5 minutes on either end and the Battle Royal for 20, and there you go.
Yep.
And then it's on network TV.
Yep. So.
Great solutionists. So we're keeping Ray, or are we going to go with our third option and just say, I think you should watch this after the fact?
I think this is probably a Tuesday watch.
Yep.
I'm right there with Greg. I feel like this is something you can put off until like Wednesday or Thursday of this week coming up. Give yourself about 30 minutes to go back and watch this, and I think you would enjoy it better.
Yeah, and Conan is the MVP. Can we say that of this Hall of Fame? Like, if you're going back and watching one thing, it's Conan. His speech and his love for his best friend was incredible.
Yeah, I would agree.
It's too bad. This makes me nostalgic for a Conan run, and I don't want him to wrestle now because he's obviously too old, but it's one of those things where it's like, man, if he would have got to WWE just 5 years younger.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Guys, let's land this plane. Speaking of landing the plane, overall, is the Hall of Fame in a sea of wrestling? Where do you place this? Is this must watch this weekend? Is it nice to watch this weekend? Or is it, you can watch it after the weekend's over? Burkhead, you can go first. You're the guest.
Okay, so this year's rendition of the Hall of Fame is something that you can watch on a Thursday or Friday of this week coming up. If you haven't seen it yet, I would put it off, save some time, because you got a lot of wrestling coming up in the next 48 hours, and you just don't want to burn yourself out. And for me, coming home from work, I didn't have to do like you guys and watch SmackDown. Can you imagine being in that crowd at SmackDown and really have a two-hour SmackDown on top of this, what turned into like two-hour Hall of Fame? I'm like, oh my freaking word.
Yeah, Greg, so if somebody were to offer you free tickets to the WrestleMania SmackDown, are you going live?
Dear God, no. Not this year.
And most years. So again, where do you land this? Where do you land this show? Where do you place it?
Yeah, this is certainly something I would suggest you go out and watch, but not something that I would necessarily even watch this week. This is something you could probably even put off to the following week, give yourself a little bit of time to decompress after WrestleMania. But this is something that you could, turn on while you're doing something, folding laundry, whatever. I think overall it's a relatively good show, but it's certainly not something that you need to, drop everything and watch.
I'm going to be the solutionist. I agree with both of you. You could wait for it. WWE podcast. I would actually prefer this as a podcast experience. It's nice to watch the highlight packages, but after that, really, I mean, we've seen the highlight packages as they were inducted. Like,
yeah, on no, Raw. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. This would make a great podcast. So
there you go.
Okay, guys. The only thing you would miss in this podcast is actually the dress of Bratson, because I feel like that is where we should mention it before we leave here, guys.
Oh, and go back and watch the pre-show. I forget who we commented on. There was another
dress. It was Carmella. Yeah, Carmella.
Corey Graves is a lucky, lucky man.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
All right, we'll end with that. The dresses are fabulous. And Muda's tux. Can we give a little props to the man? Muda's tux.
Yes, definitely. And Ray's mask was really fun tonight as well.
Yeah.
It was sick.
So we're telling you that there is, like, okay, if you've watched ROH and GCW, you made the right decision. This was lovely, but it's not necessary watching for the WWE experience this weekend. So that's it. Sean, why don't you plug your podcast? You guys have done a lot of cool interviews recently, and kudos. I have no idea how you're getting these awesome gets, but I am very interested to see who will be next on Radio Free Wrestling.
Okay, so our last guest was Andy Shepherd. I got the former host of NXT UK. We had him on for about 25 minutes, and man, that was fun to have him on there. This past week, we just did a basic preview of WrestleMania. If you have some time, go over to www.radiofreepw.com. You can find us on any major podcast network. It's Radio Free Professional Wrestling, and I gotta say, it's a nice little show I have. Or we have.
Way to put yourself over, but Burkhead, we agree. We'll give you the seal of approval. Greg, you are off to the land of hockey rinks tomorrow. Way to be a typical Canadian.
Hockey, lacrosse on Sunday. I mean, it's a busy weekend ahead after a busy week, and I'm looking forward to next weekend when you are extremely busy and I hopefully get to have a little downtime.
Yes, and I am looking forward to some WrestleMania time this weekend. Happy wrestling, everyone. Enjoy wrestling. And let's try and be positive wrestling fans, because there's lots of good wrestling on this weekend. Not all of it's going to be your cup of tea, but overall, hopefully, we'll all enjoy wrestling. And, well, we'll see you back next week when somebody might be a new champion, ? We don't know. We'll see you next week for SmackDown. Thank you for joining us tonight, Sean. Thank you, as always, Greg. And apologies for the technical difficulties. We'll see how this sounds in post. We the ones.
And by the way, guys, stay stunning.